Washington.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Well, happy Friday to you. Dory continues to recover, convalesce, come back to himself, heal. What else could we say? From knee replacement surgery, he joined us earlier in the show. Remember, you can get that on the podcast, Dory Monson Show podcast. So you can hear Dory and not have such bad withdrawals. He's with us for the big lead at noon. You know, there's personalities behind the show that you guys, you don't get to know as much because I get to hang with these folks on a fairly regular basis. And so we got to pull into this conversation. We'll pull in Nicole and Sean, but especially to start with Sean in the Fastest 15, because the McDonald's, see this, I love this technique that companies use. I should have said, unusually I would say, a fast food maker has introduced hamburger-scented candles, because I don't like to give people free earned media. However, there is a distinct smell. There is a distinct smell, as I recall, or scent, odor of a McDonald's hamburger versus Burger King. I think Burger King, is it fake smoke? I think it's real smoke. They kind of have that smoky type stuff that comes from China in the bottles, so it's sort of smoke-esque at Burger King. And is it mesquite?
I don't know. I feel like that smoky taste.
Burger King is flame broiled, so that's what we're getting when we get a Burger King. Right. That's the difference, I think.
Oh, okay. So it's flame broiled. Is the mesquite like a spray-on tan style mesquite? Like it's
that's
out of
a flavor.
Is it? Oh, it's a flavored. It's mesquite flavored. So McDonald's is putting out hamburger scented candles. And I needed to turn to Sean Dettori because, Sean, you make beautiful candles.
Thank you.
I have, I think, three that you sold me at an inflated rate.
Right.
But they're great.
There's
you
one still at one. Your desk out here, at least, I think I saw some time ago.
Yep. Nope, there is. There is. So what do you think of the hamburger scented candles?
I think it's hot. It's trendy. I mean, people are going to do it. You've got all those different flavors of potato chips now. You know what I'm saying? I remember when I was in high school, when I was young and strapping and I could eat four or five McDonald's cheeseburgers in one sitting and not have it feel like a gut bomb and just feel great at like 22 or however old it was, 19, 20. So I have kind of a nostalgia for the smell of a McDonald's cheeseburger, not so much a hamburger. I think I'd buy that candle.
Okay, all right. So that's Sean's rating. It would?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd be constantly hungry. I don't think I'd want to light it because I'd be hungry all the time for a hamburger.
Yeah, that's the brilliance, I think, of the Burger King model is that they pump that that smoke stuff out of the roof of that place. So you drive by, you smell it. There's actually studies I've read about the way people get hooked on the fast food, that they have these food, they have nutritionists, but then they have food scientists who calculate the right amount of sodium and sugar to create an immediate insulin hit. So you feel great. So that it's so bad for some people that when they drive by fast food, they start to get that insulin hit. Now, do you have any older people left? Because I think it's always older people, although in this case, it's my wife. Don't tell her. She's nearby. They're addicted to the smell of candles, and they go everywhere. And you walk into the house. Am I lying?
I'm addicted to candles. I buy candles. I mean, I'm known. My friends know me as addicted to candles because I am super sensitive to smells, and I live with the dog, so I'm very sensitive, and I don't like a dog smell. So I have candles going all the time.
I'll have to make you some candles, Nicole. I made you some a couple
I've
years
heard your
ago.
Candles.
They're still around?
Yes.
Oh,
well,
great.
I mean, they're somewhat burnt, but yeah.
But they're still working?
They're around.
Good.
So this is sort of a food-centric and, oh, boy, I don't know if I want to do this to people.
Uh-oh.
Because it's sort of food, you know what I'm saying? You see what's next in the rundown. All right. Wow. Come on. Do I have to do this? All right. So Cairo 7, in a stellar piece of investigative journalism, talked to a woman named Tanya Christofferson. She's with the Lake Stevens Sewer District. She says there is a huge globule of fat stuck in the sewer pipes out there, and it is difficult to get out.
Solid grease, just solid. And imagine we cleaned that 3 or 4 months ago. Every time you fry something, all the nachos, the French fries, everything like that, it just builds up really fast. It was actually destroying all of the concrete pipes. So now we're looking at a 300-foot replacement of pipe. With the volume of grease that we're dealing with right now, if it hits our treatment plant and those membranes, we're looking at $3.5 to $4 million.
My goodness. Do you know the amount of respect I have for people who engage in this work? Have you guys ever done any work like that where you're in the sewer pipes or you are, you know, moving outhouses or you're spreading manure? Have you ever done work like that, you guys?
I can't say that I have. I've definitely emptied a fryer, but that's not really.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, nothing with manure, luckily.
No, but it was. Was it one of the old-fashioned fryers where you'd have to turn it off and let the stuff sort of congeal, and then you'd have to get there and scrape it out with like a spatula and get your arms in there, and there'd sort of be chicken bones and stuff left in it? Like it was almost prehistoric.
Well, this was at Taco Time. Again, another high school story. Apparently, I'm locked in the past today.
Glory days, baby.
Yeah. So, no, we'd at the end of the night, the oil would still be sort of warm, and so we'd pour it through a spigot into this giant container and then have to carry it two-man style out to the giant vat in the back. And that was disgusting. Yeah.
Yeah. I can remember I worked at a pizza place. I won't say where. They had terrific pizza, but their nachos were just flat disgusting. Or they called them JoJo's. No, nachos is something else. Sliced potatoes, JoJo's. And I made the mistake of eating them once at our own restaurant. I became violently ill for like 2 days. I had a dream. This is legitimately true. I got such a bad fever that I thought I was Captain Kirk from Star Trek. And I'm 16 and living in my mom's house. And she would come in and the bones saved the ship. And she said, "Will you stop it?" And I was not lucid. I was so bad. But I remember my boss saying, "Hey, will you just do me a favor and start taking the spent grease and pouring it out in the river?" I'm like, no, that's wrong. Yeah, no, because there was a little stream out there. Now people who are from the Spokane area, they know exactly where I'm talking about. Like, you know, I'm not going to say the guy's name. I'm not taking the grease to pour in the river. I'm not. You got to figure out a way to get rid of this. What about you, Nicole? You grew up sort of rural. There's probably things you've done. You've gone out and gotten hands dirty in jobs, right?
Yeah. So during the summer, I used to, when I was really young, I'd go and babysit my cousins at my aunt's farm. And so I would help out around the farm, and they artificially inseminated cows, which I did not do, but I would be around them helping hand stuff to them.
Wow.
It was quite disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not the most fun.
You asked me the grossest thing I've witnessed. That's it.
I grew up around a farming territory as well, and I know a guy who had a job related to that, and it involved a super long rubber plastic sleeve.
Yep.
And that's
exactly what it was.
Yeah. I don't think that should be allowed, by the way. Why does it have to be Sean? Why does it have to be? You guys know this cat.
Banana seat, a canopy on two wheels. 800 cash, that's a hell of a deal. I'm headed downtown. Cruising through the alley. Tiptoeing in the street like ballet. Pulled up, moped to the valet. White walls on the wheels like mayonnaise. Dope. My crew is ill. And all we need is two good wheels. Got cash in the tank, cash in the bank.
I don't know what it says about me, but I dig a lot of his stuff. He has a song about being a father. Sean, what's that song Macklemore has after he became a father? That's a killer song. What is that?
Oh, yeah. Todd, that's an awesome. No, I don't remember right off the top of my head. I think Nicole's
growing, growing up.
Growing up?
The Sloan song. Yeah, that's what it's called. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It's actually beautiful. I thought you'd know that, Sean, because every time Wyman's in, you're playing hip hop because, you know, I don't know it.
Yeah, well, you know, I try to keep you on your toes, but this is one song that I apparently don't know, Todd. So thanks, Nicole, for that assist.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, Nicole. And, you know, just shame him later that he doesn't know that. So Macklemore, he's going to be what? He's going to be the creative director of Dutch Brothers Coffee. See, okay, Earn Media again. Why didn't I just say a national coffee chain? I love this about fame, that once you're famous, you can do a deal with an ad agency and say, you know, I'm not going to do ads for your coffee, but I will put together flavors of coffee. And maybe Macklemore's just a guy who sits around at night saying, you know what? If we could put a little bit of curry with the coffee at this percentage, does anyone buy that Macklemore does that? Or is this just, you know, getting Macklemore's name on this to kind of scrape people away from Starbucks?
Absolutely. That's what I believe it is.
Yeah.
Although I do like Dutch Brothers. It's a good one. Oh.
Not been there. I know there's this obsession about it. I know on the East Coast, it's now Dunkin' because it's no longer Dunkin' Donuts. And right. I went into, like, going to business meetings in New York, and you take in Starbucks and you get this. Like, you sit at your Starbucks and people are like, yeah.
I will say.
You could go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I do feel like Macklemore, I appreciate his dedication to the area and kind of being this
no
person
doubt.
That has his, you know, his hands in everything that happens around here. And that's what he, I mean, smart on his part.
No, and I see, and I don't know that it's just smart. I think it is smart. And I don't know Macklemore, but you get a sense of someone, and like, I don't agree with him going out with the street protests and the people throwing rocks. And there's a whole lot I don't agree with Macklemore on. And he has a really evident gratitude. I think that's how I would put it, that he has gratitude for people who made him. And I think people made him here. This is another Macklemore song I dig. And sort of against my better wishes, but I can't help but like it. Oh! Whole song here. No, it's thrift shop.
I know.
Did you guys ever go through that? Did you ever go through that phase?
Phase, dude. Todd, I'm living it every day.
Yeah, that's
90%. 90% of my outfits are like from thrift stores. It's great.
Yeah, I was kind of the opposite. I was such a snob.
Really?
I didn't want to be seen in them.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, I was a brat.
Man, I've been going to thrift stores since I was high school. Jeez, again with the high school. That's three times. No, but thrift stores are great. Todd, when's the last time you shopped at a thrift store?
Last night.
Oh, okay. That surprises
me. Well, no, as a matter of fact, because we've been spending a little time out of town and in Northern Idaho, I needed to go buy some Northern Idaho clothes.
Okay, so you're now...
They're only in the thrift shop.
Well, I'm not, you know, I've never had one of those coat vests where there's no sleeves because it's never made sense to me. I've always thought, get a coat or, you know, don't wear a coat. Like, if you don't have sleeves, why do you want to keep your organs warm but not your arms? It's not that you're, you know, going to suffer from frostbite or something. But a lot of people wear them over there. So I decided, you know what I'll do? I'll go get some. So I've got my Idaho uniform. It's just, it's a way of fitting in. And then prior to that, Sean.
Yes, Todd.
I'll have you know that I buy all my jeans at thrift shops.
Okay.
So it's I don't know where people got this idea that I'm hoity-toity. Nicole, are you still that way? You won't go buy clothes at a thrift shop?
I'm not that hoity-toity. I will go in them. I don't typically buy my clothes from them, no. But I'm not opposed to it. I'm not embarrassed to be seen in it anymore.
I'm a mere interloper here. Everybody knows that. Uh-huh. That I'm a mere interloper, not a full-timer anymore, doing some fill-in. Maybe I'll do another radio show. I'm thinking of that. If you want to keep news on that, hit me up on Twitter, at Toddy Herman, giving that strong bit of thought. But here's the thing, Sean. I think this might be good for social media. Would you take Nicole thrift shopping and help her see her way towards buying three work outfits next week?
That's not happening.
Yes.
I will take Sean shopping and buy him three outfits from a thrift store that I approve of.
No, Todd's brilliant. So Todd's going to front us $50 and we're going to go to the thrift store. Okay. And I'm going to get you some three outfits. I'm going to, you know, see what else we can do. Buy some puzzles. Maybe hopefully they have all the pieces.
I'm not opposed to shopping. I'm just, I'm going to approve the outfit Sean picks out for me.
That's fair. One time I went thrift shopping and I found, I bought this corduroy suit and in the pocket I found $40. It was great.
Oh. I once went thrift shopping and I found an amazing jacket that I fashioned after the style of Don Johnson. To me, it looked like Don Johnson from Miami Vice. It was this deep green with some black throughout it, very hipster, you know, it was very hipster at the time. And in the pocket, there was a invitation to a memorial service.
Hmm.
And the memorial service had been 10 years prior. And I showed my friend Carrie this, you know, wow, this is sort of sad. And that was before the internet. So we went into the microfiche and went back and found information on this person. And we went and took them this memorial thing. And it was really kind of cool. Then they said, we want the jacket. Like, you're not getting the jacket. And so we had to barter on the steps of their porch. Like, I bought the jacket for $25. I'll take $125. And they were upset by that. Like, but I brought you the memorial thing.
Well,
for
this
free.
This what? Tale really turned dark here, Todd.
It didn't
you
turn
were looking
dark.
So great, and now you look like yeah. a real bad guy here.
You know, once well, see, I you... got a really cool Halloween costume from a thrift store.
Yeah. Oh wow!
What was it?
Yeah.
What was it? What was it?
I think a mermaid.
A mermaid.
Wow.
Ooh, look what I
I'm
see
just
here.
Saying,
look
I haven't
this.
Gotten nearly as creative or lucky as you guys.
Well, I'm glad you finally, you know, I'm glad you explore these thrift stores every once in a while.
Wow. I'm looking at the text line, Nicole. Everybody wants you to do this.
Yeah.
This is incredible. I mean, this is huge. You know what? What if we put a charity component to this?
Yeah, I think Nicole's the charity.
No, no.
Todd. Like,
Nicole, what if we did something for Treehouse?
Okay,
stop
I'll back
it.
Off. I'll back off. No one knows what we have would accomplish
I know.
One night we raised
we'll
up.
Of course, okay. do something for Treehouse.
We're not. I know we will. We're not going to mention. Okay, then there's lastly this. There is, and this is actual research that dogs can love, and that's why they make better pets. That dogs are apparently capable of feelings of love. I think this should surprise nobody. And are we really saying that cats can't? Because I'm witness to a fast relationship between our daughter and her cat, and that cat adores her person. So is it only dogs? Do you guys think dogs can't love?
Oh man!
I mean, cats can't
love. Going on this one.
Yeah, this is a perfect.
I don't know if we have enough time for this. Story.
I know we only have like a minute, but
you guys will be at the thrift shop. You can talk about it there.
I just recently adopted a 12-year-old cat named Arwen just 3 months ago, and I was never a cat person. Never thought I would get a cat. Everyone in my life is like, "What? Are you serious?" Yeah. And I love this little creature, and she loves me. She's a lap cat.
It has changed Sean's. Just attitude at work.
Mm-hmm.
The cat makes him happy.
Yes.
And I will say the same. My parents actually just got cats about 6 months ago as well. And every time I talk to my mom now, it's, you should see what the cat did today.
Yeah.
I don't.
See,
it is hilarious.
I want to show people all these pictures of my cat, and I'm that
yes,
guy now. Nicole bought me a hoodie where I can put my cat in there if I want. Well, if the cat wants to go in, which she doesn't apparently right now. Anyway,
all right. So here's the deal. From the text line, there's mixed messages. 98973. Cats can feel love and contempt. LOL. That's a fact. I don't know dogs. I don't know that dogs can feel contempt. From the 206, cats are bad. And then there's this. Nicole thrift store fashion show. And then people suggesting that you.
Happening.
Now, listen, I think this is great, Nicole. That we establish a budget, we work with the entire Cairo Radio team, the full-timers, you all people with jobs, and raise some money, and you take Sean to buy one branded outfit with a whole bunch of fancy labels on it. Sean, are you in, if there's a trade in this, that you that Nicole takes you? What's a fancy store, Nicole?
What's a fancy store? I mean...
Yeah, Kohl's? Like no, that's furniture, isn't it?
Kohl's? No, that's
Ross
close,
Dress for Ross.
I'm not sure that would be
like
the fancy.
Men's Warehouse.
Like Nordstrom?
Something like that. Like, okay, so Nordstrom. So that you take Sean to the Nordstrom men's department, you deck him out in one great big branded outfit. He gets you three, and then we put a little social media up to say who wears it better, Sean or Nicole. I think that could be great.
Sure, and then the price has to come into it too, because you can find just as good of products at Goodwill. You know.
Yeah. From the text line, I had a cat named Midnight for 18 years. That cat was like a child to me. And, when I left her for a couple of days, I came back. She would not leave me alone for like 2 hours. No, that's love. It is. All right. Coming up on the Dori Monson Show. Are we doing the national politics thing here, Nicole? Oh, yeah, we are. Oh, my goodness. The national politics. It's getting loony. That's coming up on the Dori Monson Show. Todd Herman filling in.
Cats rule, dogs rule.
Filling in for Dori Monson on Cairo Radio. Got to get to some of the national election news. But this is fairly interesting. Tim Imond, a judge and Sisson County Superior Court judge, ruled that Tim Imond broke campaign finance rules, concealed hundreds of thousands of dollars in campaign contributions. And according to this ruling by Judge James Dixon, Tim failed to register as a political committee, failed to report $766,000 in contributions he received for ballot propositions, failed to file a C-3 report and a C-4 report for each month between September 2012 and July 2018. So if Tim did these things, he's in trouble, and he will end up paying. And the Attorney General of this state has spent more time and effort going after this one human being than all other campaign finance violations in total for his office. Usually these things are settled. Here's what's so fascinating about this. If you look at the money, $766,000 here with Tim, do you understand the web? Does anyone really understand the web of campaign finance violations that exist on a daily basis? Let me give you some tastes of this. Bob Ferguson, in all likelihood, himself committed three Class C felonies in campaign finance violations. Here's what I'm basing this on. Glenn Morgan, friend of mine, runs a great site called We the Governed. Glenn is a great political activist. He got a ruling from the Public Disclosure Commission that he had enough evidence that Bob Ferguson committed these acts. And by the way, those are just the felonies. There's a whole bunch of acts like, as I'm doing this from memory, like using campaign monies for personal use, like failing or like accepting campaign donations from out-of-state corporations, which is illegal. A whole series of these things. The government gave Glenn the authority to sue Bob Ferguson on behalf of Washington state taxpayers. So as a radio host on my own show, on a national show, I asked for attorneys in Washington state who would take that case on and sue Bob Ferguson, and they would be paid by the state when they won, because there's no doubt they would have won. No one would take the case because Bob Ferguson is mobbed up. He's got small contracts with every little law firm, so they have conflicts. Other people understand, oh, no, I'm not going to be the attorney who takes on Bob Ferguson because he'll find a way to destroy me. It was just too hot to handle. That's Ferguson. Dow Constantine, also campaign finance violations, also similar things. And Glenn has all the proof of this. In fact, we have an article on MyNorthwest.com about this, and I'll tweet that out at the break here. I'll tweet out this article so you can see the source documents to understand that I'm not making this up. Glenn was also given standing to sue Dow Constantine on behalf of Washington State, because the AG wouldn't do it. The AG wouldn't sue himself. He wouldn't sue Dow Constantine. No one would step to the plate on that, because King County has all these little contracts with these lawyers, etc. So here's Tim Iman. He's going to end up paying this money, I think, one day. I know he'll appeal, and he'll continue to appeal. He's a battler, and he's going to battle. Now, Sound Transit. You go back to the money amount here, $766,000 that Tim supposedly failed to report. Go look at two organizations. The News Tribune did a beautiful, beautiful write-up on this. And it's sitting on my desk, or I would go get it for you. But it is about who really makes transit decisions here. Who's the power base? So you have Sound Transit, which is a government agency. Okay, so it takes taxpayer dollars. Now, it's not supposed to use taxpayer dollars to promote transit, but they do. They do that all the time. Every time there's a ballot initiative, you see all these polls they run? All those polls, as I recall, have cookies so that if you click on a poll, it knows who you are, and then they can share that data with people, right? And they run those polls during elections for transit dollars. They do that so the Sound Transit name is out there. Sound Transit takes your tax monies and gives them to illegal lobbying groups, like, for instance, Mass Transit Now and Transportation Choices Coalition. So you are taxed by force illegally through the car tabs from your property tax. They launder that money. They give it to Mass Transit Now and Transportation Choices Coalition, who are actually lobbyists. They don't register as lobbyists, but they lobby. They're PACs. They don't register as PACs, but they're PACs. At least this is according to this News Tribune article. The other entities that give money to Mass Transit Now and Transportation Choices Coalitions are big business and big labor. And they end up getting contracts. You take Tim's $766,000 and compare it to the money that flows through transit projects in this area that is not reported as lobbying, that is not reported as campaign finance donations. And Tim, I'm going to guess Tim might be, oh, I don't know, 5%. So it's always interesting to look at the two-tier justice system in Washington State. Todd Herman in for Dory Monson on Car Radio. It's Todd Herman filling in for Dory Monson on Cairo Radio. The sex education bill had, there were 635 people who showed up against this bill. We've been talking extensively about it. And for 635 people to show up in Olympia to oppose something is a very, very big deal. Chris Rakedahl, the superintendent of public education or public instruction, scheduled to join us in just a few minutes on Dory Monson Show exclusively to talk about this. And Chris's office contends that a social media post I put out is inaccurate. They'd like me to edit or do something about it. So we'll start by talking about that and then get down to what does comprehensive sex education mean. And what it actually means is it's a framework for teaching. It is how kids are to be taught sex ed. And it's a change. It is not biology. It is not form and function. In fact, as you'll hear here from an employee of Chris Rakedahl, who works in his office, the focus is quite something else. The focus is actually pleasure. This is Lori Dills, who works in the office of Chris Rakedahl. She's the sexual health education program supervisor for the entire state of Washington. Here's what she says the focus of comprehensive sex education is.
Ideally, you know, the focus is healthy relationships, healthy bodies, and pleasure. We, you know, I think as a society, we have a hard time talking about pleasure, certainly in our public school system. I don't think it needs to be the focus, but I think it should not be ignored. You know, I think it's part of a comprehensive approach, is just talking about all aspects of our sexuality. So, yeah, that's what I'd like to see.
So that's speaking at a Planned Parenthood conference. And so she teaches us what pleasure to be a focus. Do you want your teachers teaching your kids that masturbation is pleasurable, that sex acts are pleasurable? She then was asked about what's the future look like for sex education. And here's what she had to say. Again, she works for Chris Rakedahl.
So in thinking about the optimal future, what will sex ed look like in Washington?
Well, I think it would be comprehensive sex ed that starts in kindergarten, that's provided every year and not just once in a standalone class each year, as sometimes happens with HIV instruction. It's not enough to provide a video or an assembly talking about HIV or consent or any of these topics. It's intensive instruction that really engages youth over a matter of weeks, if not the full year, sort of weaving these conversations into all sorts of content areas. You know, you think about the book Romeo and Juliet, great opportunity to talk about consent. You know, there are all sorts of pieces of literature that kids routinely read in school. We could be integrating messages that would dovetail nicely with the comprehensive sex ed curriculum. So lots of opportunities. I'd love to see it integrated throughout schools.
So she wants to see sex ed integrated throughout schools, but I thought you could opt out. You can opt out of the class, not if it's integrated throughout the schools. Here's what Planned Parenthood, who calls this their bill, even though, according to the legislative app I've got here in front of me, Chris Rakedahl's office, superintendent of public instruction, requested these bills. Planned Parenthood says it's their bill, the comprehensive sex education. Here's what Planned Parenthood says of comprehensive sex education. Ensuring that all young people understand they're entitled, all young people understand they're entitled to sexual pleasure, how to experience different forms of sexual pleasure is important for their health and well-being. It is a pleasure-focused curriculum. Furthermore, what Planned Parenthood uses, and this is going to be a topic of discussion when Rakedahl comes on, because they're upset with me for posting a social media post about the book Gender Queer, which is an incredibly explicit book. At one point, the prison system here wouldn't use it for a fundraiser. They said it was too explicit. And Planned Parenthood gives that book out to 10-year-olds, to 10-year-olds, and Planned Parenthood is at the center of comprehensive sex education. It is a book that depicts sex acts, one dangerous sex act. I just want to get into the details. I've said too much about it. I don't want it in my head anymore. Now, these books, these teachings, the idea that kids, it's okay to, you know, masturbate together, to touch one another. If you're not ready for the full sex act, maybe try cuddling naked in a tub. These are some of the lessons that are used right now with comprehensive sex education around the country. Right? Here's what Jim Fuda said. Jim Fuda is a lifetime law enforcement officer. He's with Crime Stoppers Global Solutions, which one of their acts is to stop sex trafficking. I talked to him about whether these sorts of lessons would make sex trafficking easier.
It's like normalizing something or trying to normalize something at a young age. And if a kid inadvertently ends up being a victim of some type of sex trafficking, hey, well, I heard about this at school.
Yeah, and this is one of the concerns that parents have, is we talked to Abby and Sarah, two eighth grade girls who had to endure a class in which their male teacher talked about how boys can get girls aroused. They had to sit and listen to this, the steps a boy can take, because once a girl's aroused, it's easier for them to have sex. That's the topic you want taught in your schools, because that's the topic that is being taught in schools, and that is a comprehensive sex education school. Those girls spoke with us exclusively. They also went down to Olympia. Then there's this. In a TVW video, testimony about the bill, people in favor of the bill, I hope I get her name right, Zandra Zupan from District 8 spoke to the legislative committee about her views on this comprehensive sex education.
With a degree in behavior science, I have worked as a behavior specialist for a multitude of children and adults with a variety of problematic behaviors, including rapists, porn addicts, victims of abuse, and pedophiles. Giving kids knowledge about sex education does help protect them. However, the material in these new curriculums promote sexual grooming, predatory mannerisms, and illicit addictive behaviors. Sexual grooming is defined as talking about sexual topics with the child, hoping to make it easier for the child to accept such things, thus normalizing the behaviors. I have witnessed the cycle of addiction and lasting permanent long-term damage when individuals are exposed to such high content at an early age. When exposed to such extensive material, both verbally and visually, it elicits a response in the brain, also called epinephrine, a cousin to dopamine. Dopamine is an integral neurotransmitter in the pleasure reward system in the brain. It's the overuse of the dopamine that causes addiction. Similar to any other addiction, the person must increase the amount of the content to get the same high. This leads to more shocking images and information to stimulate the person. Over time, the frontal lobes will atrophy or shrink. Long-term frontal lobe damage exhibits a constellation of behaviors, including impulsivity, compulsiveness, fixation on objects or behaviors, emotional instability, unpredictable mood swings, and lastly, impaired judgment. I strongly oppose this bill.
All right, so to be clear, comprehensive sex education is a method of teaching sex ed. It is pleasure-based. I would regard it as pleasure-focused. It communicates, according to Planned Parenthood, who's sponsoring it, that every human being, no matter how young, is entitled to sexual pleasure. I would just point this out. One of the curriculums taught in CSA schools suggests that that kids go online and search the phrase, and forgive me, please, search the phrase, penis too big. So Chris Rakedahl, superintendent of public schools, who requested bills like this to the Senate and the House, joins us next exclusively on The Dory Monson Show. Todd Herman filling in.